So the title of this message that the Lord gave me is, Have You Read Your Orders?
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Aaron.
Heavenly Father, we give You praise and we give You glory. Holy is Your name. Lord, we thank You for the dedication of this sweet child. Lord, we ask a blessing on her and her family and everyone that stood up here and everyone that's in this house today, Lord, that they would pray for her, Lord, and that they would be an example of Your Word in her life. And God, now as we dig into Your holy, holy Word, Lord, I ask that Your will would be done in this place, that You would speak from heaven, Lord, that we would hear Your voice through Your written Word, and that we would not leave here changed. God, I ask in the mighty name of Jesus that Your Holy Spirit would have full reign in this house, that You would be high and lifted up, that You would be glorified, magnified, and exalted. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this message is really goes right along with the dedication. God does not make mistakes, and He knows how to be exactly on time. I want to start with a verse that a lot of us have heard in Psalm 37, verse 23. And it says, the steps of a good man, and in some writings it says the steps of a righteous man, but the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. And we read that scripture, and God orders our steps. God Himself orders our steps. Because sometimes we treat it like we're making orders to God. We walk around and we're like, God, let's go over here. God, come over here. God, but the Word says God orders our steps. He has a plan for each and every one of us. So when we look at this, and we'll break it down, who's a good man that God would order his steps? Well, guess what? There were 22 verses prior to this where the writer told you how to get those steps ordered. And we'll look in verse 3, and I'm not going to read all of them, but he says, trust in the Lord and do good. If you do that, so shall you dwell in the land and you'll be fed. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord and trust Him, and He will bring it to pass. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. How many of you love to wait patiently? It's a real popular scripture. He says, don't fret yourself because of somebody else who's prospering in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Instead, cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. Because the evildoers are going to be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord will inherit the earth. Verse 11, he says, the meek will inherit the earth. And they'll delight themselves in the abundance of peace. He goes on and he goes on. But jump to verse 20. And he says, the wicked are going to perish. The enemies of the Lord will be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume. Into smoke they'll consume away. The wicked borrows and doesn't pay it back. But the righteous shows mercy and gives. For such as be blessed of Him are going to inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of Him will be cut off. And then he says, the steps of a good man are ordered. Who's the good man? Well, we saw the one that trusts in the Lord, the one that delights in the Lord, the one that commits all his ways to the Lord, the one that rests in the Lord and waits patiently, the meek. God has ordered the steps of us, and the way that we walk in them is to do what He says. His Word is perfect. His word is true. None of us are good on our own. When Jesus was asked, when a man came to Jesus and he called him good, he said, "Why do you call me good?" He said, "There's only one good, the Father," right? We can't be good apart from Jesus. We are sinners, deserving death, but Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice, came to earth as flesh, nailed our sins to the cross, rose on the third day, and became our sin. We have righteousness. We are good in Him and through Him. And that's the only way. The Apostle Paul said it in Philippians chapter 3. And I'll read verses 8 and 9. He says, doubtless. He said, "I count everything as loss. Every single thing as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of everything." But guess what? I count all that stuff as dung that I might win Christ. And look what he says in verse 9. He goes, "That I could be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." We can't earn salvation. We can't be good enough. We are sinners that deserve death until we encounter Jesus, repented, and accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. He who knew no sin became sin, so that we who were sinful could be counted as righteousness. So when it says the steps of a good man, it's not by your works. It's by Jesus' work on the cross and then our obedience to Him. That's whose steps are ordered by the Lord. We have no righteousness without Him, apart from Him. So the title of this message that the Lord gave me is, have you read your orders? Have you read your orders? And you say, orders? I don't want to be told what to do. I want to be told exactly what to do. We're different. Pastor Jerry's a pilot. Pastor Jerry can get into an airplane and fly it. If Pastor Jerry and I are in an airplane and he gets a parachute on and jumps out, I don't know how to fly the plane. That's how I feel about my life on this earth. I need someone to walk me through it. Step by, should I turn this? No, okay. Should I? No, okay. I need to be taught how to live a godly life because I'm not a pilot, right? I don't know how to do it, but we have a manual, Landon, right? We have a manual, she loves that I say that, on exactly how to live a godly life. He wrote it all down. He wrote down all of our orders so that our steps could be ordered of Him. I need to be told what to do like I am Genevieve. I don't know. What should I do? I turn to this book full of truth and life and wisdom and knowledge. And it tells me what to do. So today, have you read your orders? Jesus asked the church that a lot. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 12. You know, when Jesus encountered Satan in the wilderness, every time Satan tried to tempt Him, He said, "For it is written." And He quoted the Old Testament. And I love that. "For it is written, for it is written." And He told him, "No, this is what we're going to do. It's in the Bible." But look what happens when He encounters another group of people. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 1, "At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and His disciples were hungry. So they began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees..." Now the Pharisees were the religious leaders, the people that were in charge in the churches, in the temple, that were teaching. So the Pharisees saw it, and they said to Jesus, "Behold, your disciples, they do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day." But Jesus said unto them, "Have you not read?" He's asking the people in charge of the Word of God, have you not read? Have you not read what David did? And he starts quoting to him what David did in 1 Samuel 21. He says, have you not read what David did when he was hungry and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and he did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days, the priests in the temple, they profane the Sabbath, yet they're blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this meaneth, he said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. You would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. Have you not read, he said with great conviction. Have you not read? Jump over to Matthew 19. Because you know what? It's not the only time that he said it. In verse 1, it came to pass that when Jesus had finished his sayings, he departed from Galilee, and he came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And a great multitude followed him. And look, he healed them. He's out healing the people. Well, here comes the church leaders. The Pharisees came and they start tempting him. And they said, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for just anything? And he answered and he said unto them, have you not read? Haven't you read that he which made them at the beginning, he made them male and he made them female. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and they will cleave to his wife, and they two will be one flesh. Wherefore, there are no more two but one. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So he covers a whole lot right here. He covers the fact that he created two genders. There are two, man and woman, and that marriage is between a man and a woman. And that is it, and we are not to get divorced, unless there are a few small occasions. But that's what he's saying. They said, is it okay just to get divorced? He said, have you not read? What did he say? He re-Genesis 1:27 to them. They have these scriptures, but they're not reading them. Flip over to Matthew 21. So here, he just finishes a parable. He's talking about a certain householder that planted a vineyard and he leases it out for people to use, and he sends his servants to get what's his and they killed him. He's talking about God and the prophets. He said, no, they stoned him and they wouldn't accept him. So he said he sent more and the world keeps rejecting them, right? So what's he do? He said, what if I send my own son? What if I send my son? They'll surely accept him. But in the parable, he says they killed the son. Jesus is talking about his future death at the hand of the people. So, in verse 41, they said, Jesus asked him, he said, what do you think the husbandman's going to do when he comes to these wicked people that have killed all my workers and my son? And they answer him and they say, well, he's going to destroy those wicked men. And he'll let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season. And Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stones which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Again, did you never read? He's talking about Jesus being the corner, the chief cornerstone of the church. He said, have you not read it? He said, I've told you, it was in Psalm 118 is what he's quoting. Have you not read? Jump down to verse chapter 22. Again, another group of religious leaders, the Sadducees, come to him. And they're trying to trick him up. They don't believe in the resurrection, right? So they say to him, well, Moses said that if a man dies and has no kids, the man dies and his wife had no kids, that he should marry his brother. He said, what if he has seven brothers and she marries all seven of them and never has a kid? Who's going to be her husband when they go to heaven? Jesus says, You're making a mistake. You don't know the Scriptures. You err, not knowing the Scriptures or the power of God. For in the resurrection, they don't marry or give in marriage, but they're as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, I am the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you cannot die. You will live for eternity. Your body, this flesh, will die, but you will just go on to be with Christ in heaven. You cannot die. You will live forever. He said, have you not read? He is the God of the living. And I could go on and on. If you went into Mark 2:25, same thing, Mark 12:10, Mark 12:26. Have you not read? Do you know that the Bible is banned in 52 or 53 countries worldwide? If it wasn't true, if it was just a book of fairy tales and a self-help book, it wouldn't be banned. But it is alive and it is living and it is the Word of Almighty God. So Satan is going to do anything he can for people not to hear it or not to read it. We have the freedom and opportunity to read this every day. There are people in other countries being murdered, executed, imprisoned for reading a book that we're too busy to open. Have you not read? If you haven't, then start. Genevieve's going to read. Psalm 119:105. People say this all the time. They say, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's not if you don't know what it says. You have to know what it says for it to guide your steps. It's that simple. Why is this word banned in 52 or 53 countries worldwide? Because of what it says in Isaiah 55:11. It says that God's word that goes out of His mouth, it will not return void. It's going to accomplish that which He pleases, and it's going to prosper in the thing that He sent it to do. That's why it is imperative that we know these Scriptures and we speak them over our problems, over our children, into our lives, at our work, over our families, in our homes, at night, in the morning, on our posts, right? Like, it's going to do what God sent it to do. How many of you in here would say that you love Jesus? By a show of hands. You would say, I love Jesus. Awesome. John chapter 14. We know that Jesus loved us, right? He loved us while we were yet sinners. He died for us while we were yet dead to our sins. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Like, we know that He loved us. He loved us first. Well, guess what? There's a way that God knows if we love Him. And it's not by standing up here saying, well, I love Jesus. And it's not by singing a song or raising your hand. He says very clearly in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, just keep my commandments. Where are His commandments at? They're found between Genesis 1 and Revelation 22. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then He goes on and He says, and I'm going to pray the Father that He will give you another comforter. How many of you are glad that He sent His Holy Spirit? Right? That He may abide with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because they don't see Him, neither know Him. But you know Him because He dwells with you and He's going to be in you. He says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come to you in a little while and the world's going to see me no more. But you're going to see me because I live. And because of that, you will live also. And at that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you are in me and I in you. Verse 21, He that hath my commandments, so we have them. He that has them and keeps them, he is the one that loves me. He is the one that loves me. And he that loves me will be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now Judas asked him a question. And they want to be real clear here. It's not Judas Iscariot. It's the other Judas. He was like, call me something else. Judas, not Iscariot, said, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not into the world? And Jesus answered and he said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and he will come unto him, and he will make our abode with him. Verse 24. He that loves me not doesn't keep my sayings. It's real simple. And the word that you hear, he said, isn't mine, but it's from the Father which sent me. If you love Jesus, you will keep these commandments. If you don't keep these commandments, you don't love him. That's what he said. That's what God says. Does this mean that we're perfect? Absolutely not. We wouldn't have needed Jesus if we were perfect. Jesus gives us mercy, grace, and forgiveness because we mess up. It even said in Psalm 37:24 that even though we fall, the Lord upholds us with his hand. Right? So we're going to fall. We're going to have obstacles. We're going to have problems. We're going to have challenges. We're going to mess up. But he knows our heart, that we, when we mess up, we repent. Repent isn't saying I'm sorry. Repent is stopping what you're doing, turning in the other direction and not doing it anymore. So don't, I'm not telling you that you're earning your salvation. I'm telling you, you can't earn it, but we need to keep his commandments the best that we can because he has empowered us with the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives within us and tells us when we're not supposed to do stuff. How many of you have ever heard him tell you not to do something? I have, and I've also had him tell me not to speak. Nope. But I, nope. So you know what? I try to be slow to speak and quick to listen. This word is Jesus. This word is from him, and it's all about him. John chapter 1. This might be my favorite passage on this entire page. We're talking about reading the Word of God. Well, look how John perfectly explains it through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines into darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now there was another man sent from God whose name was John, John the Baptist. The same came to be a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through this light, through him, might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of it. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own wouldn't receive him. But as many as did receive him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14. The Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John, who spent time directly with Jesus, said in the beginning, before anything, was the Word. That Word was Jesus. He became flesh and dwelt. You have an opportunity to get closer to Jesus by reading this book. I saw a quote the other day and I loved it. It said, every man on this earth is as close to Jesus as he desires to be. Jesus wants you to come closer. But if you're comfortable where you are, that's as close as you'll get. He's asking you to come. You're as close to him as you would like to be. And so many people, I love that. Jesus is the Word. And people will be like, yeah, but the Bible was written by men. Yeah, it was written by 40 different men over 1,500 years, some being dead when the others were writing. It was on three different continents in three different languages, yet it all points to the same thing. It points to Jesus Christ, the only way to the Father. So that even more shows the power of God. One man didn't write this. One God wrote it, inspiring 40 different men to write down His Word. Read the Word. And I could go on and on about which ones you should read, which ones you should do. I could tell you Matthew 6, verse 14. I could tell you to forgive as Jesus forgave you, right? And I could tell you that if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven.
There it is. See?
If you forgive men their trespasses, if you forgive, you'll be forgiven. But if you don't, you won't. So if you have unforgiveness in your heart, get it out. If you need someone, there's someone that you've been holding, go and forgive them today so that your heavenly Father can forgive you. Because if you don't, what's He going to do? He's going to honor your wishes. See, these orders, He doesn't make us do them. He lays them out for us. If you do this, I'll do this. If you walk in this path, I'm going to be with you. He won't leave us. We're the ones that walk away. We're the ones that won't obey. Luke 6:36. There's another one. It's beautiful. What's it say? It says, be merciful to people the same way your Father's been merciful to you. So if you don't feel like being merciful, don't ask for any. How many of you are good if God gives you no more mercy? Good. So then be merciful. The last thing. Matthew 22. Because I'm not going to read you the whole Bible. I come close. I just don't have anything to say except what's in here. I don't want him to ask me if I've read. Man comes to him. One of the Pharisees again. He said, Master, what's the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart. Guess what? We just found out how we do that. By keeping His commandments, right? That's how this sums it up. You'll love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He said, this is the first and the most important commandment. Put God first. And the second is like unto it. You love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments, you can hang all the law and all the prophets. Keep God's commandments. And everything else you end up doing. By doing what God has ordered us to do. What God has shown us the right way to live. We will keep all the commandments. Just by putting Him first and loving Him. We will love our neighbors. We will forgive. We will be merciful. I'm going to have Rick throw Psalms 1 up here. So this whole thing started with the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, your true joy, is in the law of the Lord. And in it, just like Landon and Dante are going to be doing, you meditate on it day and night. I work a job a lot of times, 8, 9, 10, 11 hours a day. I don't read the Bible all day long. But I read it enough that it's going through my head. I read it enough that when I pray, God says, remember what I did for the Israelites. Remember how I parted the Red Sea. Remember how I closed the mouths of the lions for Daniel. Remember how I walked with the three Hebrew boys into the furnace and they didn't get burned. Remember how I came as flesh and died for you on that cross but rose again. Remember how I told you I will never leave you nor forsake you. Remember how in Genesis 1, in the beginning I spoke and all creation happened. Remember that what I say is the truth. Remember that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. And I know all that because I have read. So, the same question he asked them back then, have you read? If not, read your Bible. It's going to be eventually illegal here. I promise you that. Read your Bible. Hold it in your heart. Meditate on it day and night so you can keep the commandments of your Father. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that you've written down everything that you want from us. I thank you that you've written down every promise that you have for us. And if we will just open it, we can commune with you. Lord, I thank you that you've given us the truth, that your word will never pass away. Lord, I thank you that you gave Jesus, Lord, that he came, died, and rose again. I thank you that you put your Holy Spirit within us. I thank you that you give us our breath each and every second. God, we praise you because you're holy and worthy and because you first loved us. God, I pray today that if you ask us, any of us in this room, have you not read? The answer will be yes, we've read. We've read. We've studied. We've meditated. We've hid it in our hearts because it's your living, true, powerful word. God, as we close now in a song, if you've never received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. Come up here and I will pray for you. And you can experience eternal life, a joy, a peace that you've never had. If you have a sickness and want prayed for, come up here and I'll pray for you. If you're suffering with anxiety, come up here and I will pray for you. Because none of those things come from our Heavenly Father. He gives us the peace that passes all understanding. He's given us the free gift of salvation. He's given us joy. He's given us forgiveness and mercy and grace and love. So if you need anything, come up here and I will anoint you with oil and pray for you before we leave this house today. Everyone stand to your feet as we close. But I'm telling you, if you need a touch, come and I will pray.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.